Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let them have it. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
The fan, Lori Rubenson, here with you, and we are a week away from the Super Bowl. By this time next week, we will know who's the winner. And sadly, another football season will be done. But to talk about the Super Bowl, help you get an edge as you think about the game, we bring in Matt Manicharian. He is a former scout from the Saints, from the Browns. He's the Senior Vice President of Football and Data Analytics for Sports Info Solutions. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lori. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Always good to have you back. And all right, let's start with, hate to say it, but in this day and age, we know there are a lot of people who are going to make a wager on the game, and they're looking for those edges. So, or it could be about bragging rights in their office or with their friends and family. So let's look at Eagles and Chiefs by the numbers, and we'll start with when the Chiefs have the ball on offense, you've got Patrick Mahomes, you know, obviously Travis Kelce, you know, a lot of advantages there. But on the other hand, the Eagles defense, and the Eagles are just loaded, it seems, on every level. So much talent on that team. So who has the advantage when the Chiefs have the football? Who has the advantage?
Yeah, I mean, overall in this one, you're looking at two of the best teams, and I certainly think it's a case of the Eagles really being the best team versus the Chiefs having Mahomes, the best player in the NFL. And, I mean, it's going to be an awesome matchup for that reason. And likewise, for that reason, I would say that when the Chiefs have the ball, it's advantage Chiefs. There's no situation in the NFL, unless Patrick Mahomes' injury is significant enough to warrant it, which I don't think is going to be the case when it comes to a week from today. Like you said, the Chiefs had the advantage because he has the ball. Now, just because you've got Patrick Mahomes and you've got the advantage, that's all good and well. What you need to look out for is the biggest advantage in this game, I think, in terms of a matchup on either side, is the Eagles' defensive line against the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs' offensive line is good on paper. They were good last year, certainly remade since the Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes was running for his life against the Bucs. But even so, with Joe Tooney and the guys playing well up in the middle, Creed Humphrey, the tackles have been the question mark. Orlando Brown is one thing at left tackle, can be sometimes susceptible to the speed rush. Generally a good player, though. On the right side with Andrew Wiley, that's where I think if you're going to target one person and you can isolate a Hassan Reddick against him in a matchup there, I think that's the thing that you're looking at when the Chiefs have the ball, as can they figure out a way, whether it's Mahomes being hobbled or just having to deal with the Eagles' defensive front in generally, because they rotate eight people in that are all awesome. The question is, can the Chiefs find a way to keep Mahomes clean, whether it be by design or something else, or just by his raw talent? Because if not, that's the thing where you could see the Eagles starting to get the upper hand.
Do you see, you know, from what you've analyzed and looked at over the course of the season and watching the Chiefs and Andy Reid and his design, Do you anticipate some of the, I don't know if I want to call it, but stubbornness that we saw out of Kyle Shanahan, where, you know, you're mentioning Andrew Wiley as a weakness at right tackle. In the case of the Niners, we saw Shanahan at times using a tight end or a wide receiver one-on-one to block Hassan Reddick. And in both of those cases, he got his two quarterbacks knocked out of the game. Are you expecting that the Chiefs will, you know, from the way you see them scheme, should we expect some of that same stubbornness, or will they be giving help?
Oh, I think that they're going to do everything they can. See, it all depends on Mahomes' health. If Mahomes is healthy, then I think they trust Mahomes to deal with the guys off the edge. That's exactly why they're built up the middle. Keep me clean up the middle. Keep in front of me safe, and I can figure out how to run around if those edge guys start getting to me. Now, if he's got the ankle and that's really, really hurting him, like it was, you know, last time we saw him play, then I think it becomes a little bit more of a question mark. And in that case, I think Andy Reid will help him out. I think Andy Reid will make sure it doesn't get into that situation. You know, I think it's funny that you mentioned that, because one thing that we did see last week was sort of the way that the Chiefs isolated Chris Jones, be it moving him to the to the edge position to get those matchups against the Bengals. I think with 2 weeks, with all the time the Eagles will be having to watch film, they're going to be thinking of ways to get isolated against Wiley. I think that's something we could even see a Fletcher Cox coming outside and getting isolated snaps on third down against him out there. I think that's where they want to try to, you know, you want to go through the weakest point on that offensive line. I think that's where they're really going to try to attack.
So you made the point, and I would agree with it, you know, absolutely. When I look at the Chiefs, I see Patrick Mahomes, you know, the best player in the league, and Travis Kelce, you know, is no offense to Dallas Goedert, but Travis Kelce, you know, as long as he's healthy, big advantage there. Chris Jones is a fantastic player, but other than quarterback and tight end, when I look at the Eagles, it seems like the Eagles have the advantage at basically every position group on the field, both sides of the ball, except quarterback and tight end. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Now, I mean, the quarterback position is a lot more important than than all the other, you know, than a lot of the other, not all of them combined, but probably about all of the positions on defense combined are maybe as important as the quarterback just individually. So, you know, you got to take that into account, but it's hard to find, you know, I would take Chris Jones above any of the interior players on Philadelphia individually, but, you know, Fletcher Cox combined with the rest of the guys they got there on the defensive line makes up for it. I think you could make, you know, similar arguments about a Joe Tooney, a Creed Humphrey, but not when it comes to against Landon Dickerson and Jason Kelce. You know, a cool stat with the whole Kelce on Kelce thing that we've got going in this Super Bowl is Jason Kelce led all offensive linemen in our flagship stat at SIS total points this year, which is basically the number of points that he was worth to the Eagles offense this year. And Travis Kelce led all tight ends in total points amongst that position group. So there are some fantastic, fantastic players in this game on both teams. And a big story, too, I think on the back end, Legarius Sneed, you could make an argument he's the second or third best player on this Chiefs defense. Him coming back from that concussion, another really, really key point there as we look at where you can start to find all those little small areas where you start to add up all the advantages that the Eagles have together, and they really start to show up when it compares to, you know, Mahomes and Kelce, Chris Jones maybe, and then you're choosing all Eagles.
Yeah, when we think of the Eagles on offense, and you're mentioning their fantastic offensive line and Jason Kelce in particular, the Eagles running game, first of all, just give us a sense, you know, how good is the Eagles running game from a statistical standpoint or an analytics standpoint compared to the rest of the league? And are those advantages based on, is it, you know, is it Are they a great running team primarily because of that offensive line? Is it their running backs? Is it the threat or advantage of having Jalen Hurts, such a dynamic runner at quarterback? Or, you know, honestly, could anybody be running behind that offensive line?
It's definitely a combination. The two biggest factors would be the offensive line and the Jalen Hurts factor, and the fact, you know, what they're able to do from an offensive scheme perspective when it comes from that. They're a pretty evenly split team compared to the rest of the league in terms of how often they're running gap run schemes, right, where you have a pulling offensive lineman kind of trying to hear, you know, the old down kick, sort of, you think of the old school style of football, versus the zone run scheme. More of that, you know, Denver Broncos with Terrell Davis, John Elway, everybody kind of moving in one direction and using that athleticism. The Eagles are great no matter what they do. They're sixth in efficiency in the NFL in gap runs, and they're first in the NFL in efficiency on zone runs. So they do both of those things, and then they complement it with a ton of play action. They're very efficient, fifth overall in efficiency on play action. They dictate the coverages that you can run against them. Because of the Jalen Hurts giving them a man advantage on the offensive front in the run game, they're causing teams a lot of times to have to play man coverage against them just to be able to account for it. They see the most man coverage in the league of any team, and they're fourth in the NFL in expected points added and in efficiency against those coverage schemes. So they're doing a ton to mesh their offensive line with the talent that Jalen Hurts has as a runner, with their weapons that they have in the passing game. And it's really been a sight to behold this year. If you want to criticize, you can say they haven't played a super high level of competition, but the step up in competition in this game is not going to be on the defensive side of the ball as they're facing the Chiefs. The step up in competition is going to be Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. We have every reason to believe that the Eagles should be able to run the ball and move the ball in this game to a sufficient degree. Now, you know, that's why they play the game, but this has been an offense that is built in a very specific way. And it's so funny because, you know, everybody wants to call me an analytics guy, even though I think I'm a football guy, but analytics is always pass the ball, passing's more efficient than running. Well, take a look at some of the most quote unquote analytics forward teams in the league right now. You're looking at the Eagles, who run the ball like crazy. You're looking at the Ravens, who run the ball like crazy. There's something to be said for being able to be really efficient, especially involving your quarterback in the running game and what that can do for your offense.
So who's a, maybe an under the radar player that is a key guy for each team?
Ooh, that's a good question. An under the radar key player. Where am I looking at right here? I'm going to say for the Eagles, I look at Darius Slay.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Slay is the corner who statistically was the second best corner on the Eagles this year. Bradbury just had an unbelievable year. It seemed like he was targeted all the time, a lot of times because people wanted to stay away from Slay. And he, as a result, had a lot of opportunities to make plays, get interceptions. But Slay's a guy who I think is scary for a reason when you try to come at him. And people sort of have been sleeping on him as a story going into this Super Bowl. So I would look at that. I would look at, you know, like I said, this comes down to what we can get from Mahomes. And if they can start to get to Mahomes and force him to throw some balls, I wouldn't be surprised if Darius Slay could get his hands on one. And you know, I think that would just absolutely be huge as far as that goes. Flip it around. I don't know if Isaiah Pacheco can be considered an under the radar. I don't know. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire certainly could be. But if the Chiefs can get some semblance of a running game going, I think that really changes things for them offensively. I'm not saying they need to be a team that, you know, is going to ground the pound 3 yards in a cloud of dust, whatever you want to say. I'm just saying that with the uncertainty about Mahomes' health and the amount that they can just relieve the Andrew Wileys of the world in terms of what they're being asked to do from a pass protection standpoint by getting some sort of a running game going. I don't know if it's Pacheco. I don't know if it is Edwards-Helaire. You know, he had the same injury as Mahomes, the high ankle sprain, but his was back in the end of November, which shows you two things. So number one, how serious that injury is. Yeah, that's crazy, right? But also, that, you know, when you play the running back position, it's sort of on a different level. Throwing the ball versus running through tacklers on the defensive line are two different things. But CEH can come back and he can provide just a little bit of that balance. I think that does make a difference because the Eagles just have reinforcements after reinforcements on the defensive front that make it very, very difficult if you're going to try to just drop back and pass every play. They're not going to get tired.
Is maybe something also under the radar is that we tend to think about offense and defense, but who has the advantage on special teams in this game, and how big of a difference is that potentially in a Super Bowl?
You know, that's a really great question. I think in this one, actually, when we break it down, we look at two middling special teams units this year based on total points, our total value metric. Like I said, the Chiefs are 14th. The Eagles are 18th. Now, that's on the course of the year. That can be tipped this way and that way by big plays in either direction, which maybe not aren't going to be as predictive when you look into the Super Bowl. Dave Taub, the special teams mm-hmm. coach of the Chiefs, is one of the top special teams coaches in the league, but also has to deal with a roster that doesn't have a lot of room to invest in core special teams players. So he sort of plays with one hand tied behind his back in that respect. I think in terms of what you could expect on paper, this should be a pretty down the middle one. Again, you could go back and you could talk about injuries and of course, the Chiefs kicker has been injured throughout the year.
Harrison Butker.
Right, Butker with the high ankle sprain also that he sustained back in, I think it was September, mm-hmm. but it's kind of been a lingering thing throughout the year. So I think at the end of the day, it's hard to predict if special teams would be the tipping point one way or another, but these are two really strong franchises, two really well-coached teams. So I would hope that this game is decided on the offensive or defensive side of the ball.
You said two really well-coached teams. I mean, that's special teams, but in general, is there a coaching edge in this game, and whether that's on game management, clock management, scheme, aggressiveness?
You know, there's a big experience advantage for mm-hmm. Andy Reid.
Yep.
And I don't think you can sleep on that. I think there are a lot of things about coaching that are really hard to separate as measurements from just team performance in general. And Andy Reid's got the most dominant team at the NFL for the last 5 years or so. So I don't want to sleep on him as a great coach. But to what you said, the game management stuff, in terms of who's going to be aggressive on fourth down, the Eagles, if you notice, they play a game where this is four down football. And that's really, really hard to play against. Ask people that played football. They didn't have to play in the NFL or college football. Ask somebody who played high school football how it feels to go against a team that you know you're going to have to stop them on four downs and not three. It's a difficult style of football to play, and the Eagles are really, really good at it. They get into third and two, it's almost a guaranteed first down. In fact, they get into third and four, it's almost a guaranteed first down. So this is a tough offense to play against. And I think that they're built that way for a reason. They've got really smart people running their organization, and that goes back 30 years, back to Joe Banner and company, when they set up the first analytics department in the NFL. But when you look at how that plays out now, they become a difficult team to play, just like the Chiefs are difficult to play because their quarterback's better than you, and that's really hard to overcome. The Eagles are a tough team to play because they've been built over the years to do everything in their power to maximize all those little advantages. So they're built to do really well on third and short, on fourth and short, and that makes for a really long game when you're going up against them. So it's going to be an awesome Super Bowl. I can't wait. Like you said at the top, the two best teams, you don't always get this. This is awesome.
So who's going to win?
I would put my money on Mahomes if I had to. I know we don't always have to make it about betting and all that other kinds of stuff. And certainly it's not a bet that I would recommend anybody bet their house on, because this is football and we got to play the game for a reason. And Mahomes has been injured. But at the end of the day, I do think that, coming into the season, if you asked me the question, who's winning the Super Bowl, I would have said the Chiefs, and the reason would have been Mahomes. So if you ask me today, on February 6th, answer is the same. I'm going with the Chiefs because they've got Mahomes, and I think they can do enough in the other parts of the field. That's not to discredit Travis Kelce, Joe Tooney, Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, some of the players that we talked about before. But for me, I think Patrick Mahomes is just that special, and it'll take a really special performance from the Eagles if they're going to win their second Super Bowl in the last handful of years here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, it's kind of a, does call out how, you know, just how legendary and special Patrick Mahomes is, that I'm with you. If I look at it, I really do think that other than a couple of position groups, the Eagles are just a deeper and more talented team at almost every position group. And yet you have Patrick Mahomes on the other side. And does that tilt the scale to say, you know, whether you think, if you had to, Chiefs win, or whether we think it's pick 'em, before, you know, either team could win, but 50-50, that he is significant enough to tilt that scale is really, truly remarkable. We're talking to Matt Minitarian from Sports Info Solutions. I want to turn to the two local teams for a moment, and so let's turn to the Giants, who also have been in the news, and you have Daniel Jones, you have Saquon Barkley, and as you know, their general manager, Joe Shane, the Giants, I think, surprised a lot of us, did much better in year one of a rebuild this year. And Joe Shane at the Senior Bowl and evaluating talent, coming back, and has said he's getting to work on a contract for Daniel Jones. So where would you, from a scouting perspective, from an analytics perspective, from a football perspective, where would you rank Daniel Jones as a quarterback this season, you know, among NFL quarterbacks? Where would Daniel Jones fall for you?
So it's a great question. And as we evaluate quarterbacks at SIS, obviously we lean on our statistics a whole lot. And Daniel Jones has been a bottom tier quarterback in the NFL for us through the first few years of his career. But here we saw in year four, it was a really, really different sort of situation. Going back to the total point statistic, we saw the first 3 years of career, 18 total points, 36 total points, 35 total points. Those are low, low level level starter type numbers, what we're talking about there. That's below replacement level. This year he was up at 100 total points. He was 10th in the NFL. So we saw a different Daniel Jones. It was in the air. It was on the ground. It was a more accurate Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. and not just in terms of the completion percentage, in terms of how accurately he was actually throwing the football. First time in his career, over 80% of his attempts were actually deemed as catchable by video scouts, and 73% on target percentage, tops in his career. So I think the coaching staff unlocked something here. I think that they've really shown us that he can be more than what he was over those first few years of his career. But at the end of the day, I think that he overperformed in terms of what he is this past year. He basically showed, I think, in a lot of ways, what his peak is. And to me, I think if you're peaking out as the 10th best quarterback mm-hmm. in the league, I've got to take a lot of pause before I invest in you. There are really two types of quarterbacks that you can win a Super Bowl with in the modern NFL. Number one is good quarterbacks on rookie contracts, and number two is great quarterbacks. And I don't think he fits into either of those categories anymore, unfortunately. So I'd be really careful about spending money on him. I'm not saying I wouldn't do a bridge deal with him, but I think this is a player that's going to command more than $30 million a year in terms of real money. And that's not a player that I would want to command that sort of money, especially when I look at the Giants roster right now, which was barren, just really barren mm-hmm. when the current crop took it over. And they've got such good management in there now. They've seemed to turn Andrew Thomas, who was a question mark, into a real positive.
I got to stop you with that. Sorry. Andrew Thomas is a real positive, but as an example, that's something that had already turned. I'm not going to credit this year's. I mean, I'm not saying, I think they did a phenomenal coaching job, but Andrew Thomas was already, had already turned into a top player if you watched him last year.
Right, he was already here. Leonard Williams too, right? But now you add to that Dexter Lawrence.
They give them credit for. They unlocked that. They absolutely took him to the next level. I want to stop you for a second, though, on Daniel Jones. And no doubt, look, I thought Brian Daboll and the staff did a phenomenal job, and we got to see the difference in coaching. And on Daniel Jones, if you watched him game in, game out, and over the course of the season, as you said with the accuracy, the mechanics got better. And the way he slid in the pocket and footwork, he got better. And you watched it happen. Now, my question is, I hear you. It is so challenging on, the most valuable thing in the NFL is a really good quarterback on a rookie deal. If you can get that, build around him, try and win a Super Bowl right now. I get it. And of course, if you can get a Patrick Mahomes, God bless you, you want that. But the question is, when you say Daniel Jones was number 10 for you, a top 10, and you're saying you don't think he can be better than this. I guess my question is, when you look at the receiving talent that he had, do you not think that there's anywhere else to go if, we say, all right, Jalen Hurts got A.J. Brown and, Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs and Tua got Tyreek Hill. I don't know where Daniel Jones could go, but is there upside here of a guy who could do better? Whether that's, I understand he's not going to be a top three, and you'd like that sort of greatness, but is this a guy who could creep up a few spots in that top 10 if he actually had, halfway decent receivers?
I think that Darius Slayton's their only NFL receiver that they really, he's their only real starting level receiver. So I don't doubt that at all. And he needs better weapons around him in order to do what they're going to do. And I think you bring up a lot of good examples of players that have shown real improvements. I have a really hard time actually answering this question, because when you look at these quarterbacks historically, we don't find a lot of examples of quarterbacks who improve their accuracy over time. But to your point, we've seen now Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. We've seen Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. We've seen add a wide receiver there and bring in somebody who can really work with them on their mechanics, and we can get better production. And, of course, when you look at the transition of kind of Buffalo coming down through New York, down the thruway down to
Brian Dable. Buffalo South is now in New York.
Mm-hmm. What you got here with Daniel Jones showing a lot of improvement, I think it's easy to draw the sort of connection there and to say, okay, well, here we've seen this guy improve his mechanics, and if we bring in a receiver, we can expect to see this sort of level of production. What I see from my eye test see also from, you know, I say he was 10th overall in total points. He was 15th on a per-play basis.
Okay.
So when you talk about that being the peak of what he is, I really do worry about that.
Okay.
I really worry that I think a lot of what he did was on the ground, and I think there's a limit to that.
Mm-hmm.
He's what I would call a win-in-spite-of quarterback. I don't think he's a guy that you win with.
I think he's, I guess, you know, and maybe it is that I want him to be this. I think he's a win with. I don't think he's a win because. I don't think you win because of him. And the question, you know, it just felt like he was doing more with so much less from a talent standpoint around him. But even if he is a win with, you know, we can agree to disagree on, you know, is it win because in spite or is it win with? And if you had him on, let's call it 15th on a points per play, you know, can he get up to being consistently a top 10 guy? The part I also struggle with is if you're the Giants, where do you go? You know, we look around the league and we look at how many teams need quarterbacks. And with the Giants and now this coaching staff being, I mean, if they can coach that roster, I understand it was an easy schedule. If they can coach that roster to this finish, are you going to find yourself in a top five draft pick to draft a quarterback? And if you're not there, then I know you can find Jalen Hurts in the second round. You can trade up for Patrick Mahomes. Things like that can happen. But what do? Are you, as you said, a bridge deal? Are you better off signing Daniel Jones, whether it is for 3 or 4 years, building a foundation around, and then saying, all right, if we can't get there, we go out then and try and figure out the quarterback position? Or, I don't know. If you don't sign him, are you essentially saying we're going to take a big step back for a rebuild and try and tank for a season or so until we can get a top three pick? What's the strategy?
You know, I'm not a fan of trying to tank in this situation because I think that you've shown that you can teach your team how to win. You have frankly, a bad roster that you coached into a playoff win this year. And I think that was an impressive accomplishment. And learning how to win in football is really hard. So I think going and tanking when you're in a situation like this is not the move. That said, I think that you really do need to be careful here not to misevaluate. Because if you look at this team and you think that they're better, then this isn't a top 20 personnel team in the National Football League.
I agree. I was shocked. I was shocked at the lack of talent and how they actually won. But then I guess my question is, if the coaching staff was able to coach them into the record they had, what do you do? Do you not sign him?
And I'll tell you what.
And isn't that tanking if you don't sign him?
No, the bad news is I can't tell you what the best move is, but the good news is that Joe Shane gets to watch him in practice every day, and I think has a really good feel along with Brian Daboll of what they believe he can do. And this is really how I think of it. I think if you believe that you can win a Super Bowl with this quarterback, not in spite of, if you think you can win a Super Bowl with this quarterback, like you're saying, complement him with a wide receiver, get that all there together, and they feel like they're really on that path and that's where they can go, in that case, then I think you spend $35 million on it. I think you take what around the league people will say, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe they overpaid. And you say, well, you think that, but we know more than you because we have him in our building every day and we know what we have here. I don't believe that, but I do believe that if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are as good at their jobs as I believe that they are, I think that they'll be able to see that. And I would trust their decision-making, you know, especially if I was a Giants fan and I was trying to figure out where to put my heart. But based on what I see, and that's all I can say, which I don't think is as valuable as what they see because they have the advantage of being in there every day with him. But based on what I see, I would be nervous about that. And for that reason, I would rather not pay him $30 million. I'd rather not pay him $25 million. I'd rather draft a quarterback this year, draft a quarterback next year, bring in your Derek Carrs of the world, if that's what you think is going to be the solution. Look around at cheaper options around the league. But I think you've got to do, if you don't have this position solved, you've got to do whatever you can to solve this position, because it is the most important position in football. And I don't believe there's much precedent in the NFL for right now for winning without either having a great player at that position or a rookie contract player at this position. And unfortunately, I think the clock's expired on that for Daniel Jones.
I guess the Giants and Giants fans might look at Eli Manning and say, well, didn't always look great in the regular season.
Yeah,
and there he was.
Sure.
So there's a little bit there. All right. I have to let you go. But before I do, just the last one here is, where do you stand? The Giants obviously also have Saquon Barkley and to try and figure out, where do you stand on paying running backs second contracts, and where did Saquon rank amongst running backs for you?
Well, I'm a huge fan of paying players that you drafted who performed well on their rookie deals, because I think that's how you build sustainable winning franchises. And so for that reason, I'm a fan of re-signing a Saquon Barkley. In general, running back is the most devalued position in football outside of
devalued, know, just so people didn't miss the D part of that. So
sorry,
less value. It's not valuable.
And
yep.
So if you look at the franchise numbers on what you have to pay a running back, it's close to $10 million a year, whereas a defensive end is $20 million a year, and a wide receiver is $20 million a year, and a quarterback's $30 million a year. So in terms of what you actually have to pay these players, you are paying them less. I believe that when you have a Saquon-type player, a guy who's a really strong player at his position, who's everything that you've looked for since he's come in really from an on- and off-the-field standpoint, save injuries, I think that's a player that you can pay. Now, you've got to be careful. You don't want to overpay him. You can't afford to pay him $20 million a year. That would be a mistake for basically any running back. But if you can agree to a reasonable contract with him somewhere right above that franchise average annual value range, I think that it would be a great win-win for the Giants and Saquon Barkley. Because at the end of the day, other teams are going to be willing to pay him, but they're not going to pay him quarterback money. So
I don't think anybody's thinking about quarterback money. I think we're talking about the, you know, does he want 13, 14 million? And with his injury history, you know, how much guaranteed and how many years? I think that's where the Giants struggle. If it was $10 million a year, which is the franchise tag, I think the Giants would be fine with that. But I don't think that's what Saquon wants.
So, I mean, I think at a certain point, we're sort of nickel and diming here a little bit in a league with a $225 million salary cap next year. I think you really need to think about, do you want to re-sign your core players? Is he somebody that's going to set that position group for you, kind of healthy or unhealthy, to be able to make it into the sort of thing where you're going to have a position group that can fall in line? If he's worth that value to you, it's just something that's not going to be quantified on his yards per carry or anything like that. If you're going purely, do I want just the most efficient roster possible? Don't pay him. Don't ever sign a running back to a second contract. But, I mean, good luck getting running backs on rookie contracts to play hard for you in the future if that's going to be your perspective. So I think there's got to be a little bit of reality that checks in there, where if we're happy to pay this man $10 million, but not $14 million, are we sure that we're understanding value correctly?
Interesting. It's an interesting take. Matt Minitarian, I wish I could get into Jets. I could talk to you all night from Sports Info Solutions. Appreciate the time, and we'll definitely catch up with you down the road.
Yep, look forward to it. Thank you, Lori.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back and Super Bowl. Let's open the phones. Predictions. Who do you have? Kyrie Irving going to the Mavericks. Who won that trade? Mavs or Nets? And Meanwhile, going to also talk about little Carlos Beltran news as well. He's coming back home to the Mets. So plenty still to do. Phone lines are open. 877-337-6666. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at L Rubinson. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.